Now, according to AARP, nearly half of family caregivers are reporting that their responsibilities have increased since the start of the pandemic. And over the past year, many people have become caregivers for the first time, in many cases related to COVID-19. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you or have you been a caregiver for a loved one in the past or maybe right now? Have you become one since the pandemic began? What kind of things have changed with all the changes that came with the pandemic? What are the hardest things? Have you been able to find moments of joy along the way? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Amy Goyer is a family and caregiving expert for AARP and moderates their Family Caregivers Discussion Group on Facebook. She's the author of several books, including AARP's Juggling Life, Work, and Caregiving. Amy, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, I know this is an issue that's close to your heart. You're in touch with a lot of people who are doing caregiving right now. You've been a caregiver, of course, yourself. What has changed during the pandemic? What kind of things are you hearing from people?
You know, one of the things I'm hearing is that caregivers are even more isolated than they were before, and their loved ones are. So that's, you know, one of the fallout from the pandemic has been true for everyone. And family caregivers have a history of already being isolated because your life gets smaller. You know, you're focused on taking care of your loved ones, maybe working, your family. And that isolation now is really magnified, which is negative for the health of the caregivers as well as for their care recipients. You know, it's as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It's worse than obesity on our health.
Have people had to change, maybe become more caregivers for the same person they would have been? I think, you know, there might be, well, I check in on a parent or whoever every now and then. Have you seen people making the decision like, we're going to need to pod together full time now?
Yes. In fact, some people who really weren't considering themselves caregivers before kind of thrust into a caregiving situation due to the pandemic because their loved ones who were, you know, going, doing their grocery shopping themselves and things before, now they don't want them to do that. So they may be doing all of the errands for their loved ones, taking them to doctor's appointments, keeping more of an eye on them, helping them with emotional support. And there are families who, due to the pandemic, have decided to, you know, not just pod together, but actually live together. And we have people who've brought their loved ones into their home to live together.
I know in some cases, people might be able to afford to hire some help with the caregiving or might be, get some public or other support to help them do that. But how much has the pandemic itself affected that, willingness to bring people into your house, the willingness of people to come into your house?
Right. It's a scary thing right now. And so we have people who've been caregiving at home and, you know, maybe had a great system set up where they had some paid caregiver help. Maybe they had help coming in from the VA or the Area Agency on Aging. And now they're afraid to have anyone come in the home. So I hear from a lot of caregivers who are kind of going it alone more than they were before. The respite programs, you know, we have a lot that are still willing to come into the home, but the issue is, are the caregivers willing to allow people to come in the home? So we just really urge people to think about the safety precautions and balance that with the mental health of the caregiver and the actual care needs of your loved ones.
What kind of advice would you give people who are feeling like, you know, with this double whammy, caregiving and the pandemic, they're at the wit's end of their wit's end? What kind of things would you suggest to them to get started on getting a grasp on this?
You know, the first thing to do is to really fully evaluate, is there a way to get more help? And it might mean that family members who live at a distance but are able to drive, maybe they are going to come in and stay with the loved one sometimes and give you a break. In some cases, families have chosen to go ahead and have some home health aides or have some paid caregivers come into the home to get those breaks. If your choice is to not do that, then you need to look at the best ways you can to fill yourself up. You know, you give a lot when you're caregiving, and it's like you give it all away, and you cannot run on empty. That's something I learned when I was in the deepest throes of caregiving. So find ways to fill yourself up, and that might be that you give yourself a break and you're going to do the dishes in the morning, or you're going to really make a good cup of coffee and sit and And watch a movie with your loved one, or you're going to get on Facebook. AARP has a wonderful Facebook family caregivers discussion group that I moderate. And I think a lot of caregivers are hopping in there when they have time to kind of be able to vent and get some support and connect with the outside world.
And yeah, that notion that knowing you're not alone, I think that might mean something in and of itself, right? Finding those connections with other people in similar situations.
Yes, I hear it over and over again, especially in that Facebook group, that they say, you know, I really thought I was the only one doing this. And, you know, and part of that is because we don't think of ourselves as caregivers. We're just sons and daughters and spouses and nieces and nephews who are just taking care of somebody who needs it in our family. But the fact is that you are a caregiver and there are others doing similar things, and just kind of validating, like, oh, somebody else is doing this and they found a solution for this problem, you know, and you can post that and then get a lot of great input on how to problem solve.
We're talking to Amy Goyer, family and caregiving expert for AARP. She moderates what she was just talking about, the Family Caregivers Discussion Group on Facebook. She is giving advice for people who are caregiving for family members or others during the pandemic. And you can join in maybe to share your experience, maybe with a question at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Robert is with us in Green Bay. Robert, hello.
Hi, good evening. The reason why I'm calling is that I am an in-home caregiver to my daughter through the pandemic last summer. She turned 18. She has missed out on a lot of things. She still attends school because she goes to a special education school. And you just imagine all the other events, and like you had mentioned, respite is not available. So I had taken on many different things, wore many different hats being a caregiver for her. And from doing so, the agency that we work through sent us the paper that said you are eligible to receive your COVID-19 vaccine. Anyone who I've told about this, even when I went to set the appointment, they've asked me, are you over 65? No, I'm not, but and then I explained what I just told you. And it seems like I got nothing but like ridicule. Like, how are you getting your vaccine first? What are you doing? You're not an essential worker. I feel that I am. Your opinion, please.
Robert, thanks for the call. Is an issue going on now, Amy, with vaccines? Apparently, for a caregiver, Robert is eligible. I don't know your thoughts. I assume you don't think he should feel bad about this. He is providing a service there.
No, I do not think he should feel bad about that. You know, this is a huge issue that I've been hearing about from caregivers from long before the vaccine was even available, because everyone was thinking about this. You know, the fact is, you know, my loved one, I'm with my loved one all the time, and I have to go to the grocery store. I could bring that home to them. You know, how are we protecting them? But you're not really protecting them if you're not protecting their caregivers. So people have been asking these questions. My best advice is to contact your local health department and ask, can caregivers receive priority? I've heard a wide variety of stories of people who, when they take their loved ones to get their vaccines, that sometimes they are able to then get their vaccine at the same time, because it's pretty really quite obvious that they're a caregiver. There are some states who have actually made a policy of that you can do that. So if he received an official letter from an official agency saying, you are eligible to get your vaccine because you're in this caregiving situation, then I would say accept it. Don't feel bad about it. I think that, you know, that agency is really thinking wisely about how to best protect vulnerable populations.
Thanks for the call, Robert, at 800-642-1234. And Amy, Robert brings up another point. A lot of times when I think of a family caregiver, probably a lot of people think this, you're thinking of taking care of a senior, maybe an aging parent. That is not always the case, though, right?
Right. You know, family caregivers take care of people of all ages, and we have we may have loved ones who are our children who have disabilities and who are, you know, growing up as well. Our adults, we have many people who are taking care of veterans who've been injured in the service and who are really quite young. So there, you know, someone might have a brain injury from a car accident. So the people are caregivers all ages. We know that, you know, there are larger numbers caring for older adults, but there certainly are significant numbers who are caring for younger people.
We're talking to Amy Goyer, a family and caregiving expert for AARP. She's the author of books including AARP's Juggling Life, Work, and Caregiving. We're talking about the role of family caregivers during the pandemic and how that's raised new challenges. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you right now? What has your caregiving experience been like in the last year? If you were a caregiver in the past, what advice would you give to people doing this right now? And how has the pandemic changed things? Do you have a question for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about family caregivers during COVID-19. Amy Goyer is with us, family and caregiving expert for AARP, author of books including AARP's Juggling Life, Work, and Caregiving. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a family caregiver now? How has the pandemic changed things? Have you found solutions, ways to make things work better, maybe less stressful? Or do you need that suggestion? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to your calls now. Kathy is with us in Cazenovia. Kathy, hi.
Hi. My question is, are there resources to try to help other family members understand how difficult it is for those of us who are the family caregivers? My father has Alzheimer's. He's in memory care right now, but for 5 years, I was a main caregiver, as well as I do caregiving as my regular job, too. And my family members just could not seem to understand how difficult it was. Are there resources out there to help educate those who aren't doing most of the hard work?
Kathy, thank you so much for sharing that. Amy, is there something that somebody in the position Kathy was in can point to for those family members who might not get how much work she's doing?
Right, Kathy, my heart goes out to you. You know, my dad had Alzheimer's also, and he lived with me for 6 years. So I've been through this caregiving situation, as you say. And it is one of the most difficult things that I hear from families is about siblings, especially, you know, it's the most common scenario of other family members who don't really understand what's needed and don't understand how difficult it can be. AARP has a wonderful website, aarp.org/caregiving, where we have resources there and articles and things to help people understand what caregivers are facing. And we also have a lot of videos. I think sometimes the videos are what really get across to people. We've also been working with the Ad Council for many years and trying to get images out and get people to understand and raise awareness about the challenges of family caregiving and the resources that are out there for them. A lot of families actually go into mediation, and they get a trained family mediator who can sit down with them and help family members work out arrangements so that the care is more shared and help other family members understand what one family member is going through. So that's another option that you can look into.
Thanks a lot for the call, Kathy. And Amy, for that family member, and now with COVID, you know, maybe there was that sympathetic family member who could come and help out, and now they can't travel or don't feel comfortable traveling. Are there ways to still support remotely the Kathy in your family?
Very good question. You know, I think that it's actually really agonizing for a lot of family members who are staying away. And there's sometimes a family will say, okay, we're going to choose one person who interacts with mom and dad. That doesn't mean everybody else is off scot-free. Even if you're at a distance, you can help manage finances. You can do that almost all online now. You can help do research and find things. You can order groceries and have them delivered. You can do other kinds of online shopping and problem solving and trying to figure out, oh, you know, we're having a problem with incontinence. What are the supplies that are available? What's something new we can do with this? You can make doctor's appointments. You can even sit in on doctor's appointments now, especially if they're on, you know, a Zoom, if they're video appointments. And so there are many ways to be involved. But most importantly, remember that if you've got a family member who is really, you know, carrying the bulk of the responsibilities and the tasks for caregiving, give them reinforcement. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them you see what they're doing. You know, sometimes caregivers just want to be acknowledged. And it's not they don't want to do what they're doing. It's just that they want somebody to appreciate it and understand. You can send flowers and send a card. And I remember one time my sister surprised me with chocolate-covered strawberries and just a note that said, thank you for what you're doing. And that meant the world to me. I still have that note.
Talking to Amy Goyer from AARP, looking at caregiving for a family member, especially during the pandemic, the new challenges that can raise. Still time for your experiences and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Amy, this is an act of love, of course, the caregiving. These are people who presumably care about each other coming in. But there's a lot of work. People are cooped up. Even if you're used to going out for a walk, it's, you know, we're occasionally kissing positive temperatures in Wisconsin these days. You're cooped up together. How do you make sure to maintain that friendly and loving relationship in a stressful time when you're cooped up together like this?
It's really a good point. If you're living with the people that you're taking care of, any ways that you can have alone time, you know, any way that you can possibly do that, whether it's setting up a television in their bedroom so that they can, you know, have a little time watching what they want, you can watch what you want. One of the things I hear a lot from caregivers is mom has to have the TV on so loud and it's driving me insane. And so, you know, what I did with my dad was I got him special TV headphones so that he could listen to it at the volume that worked for him, and I could have the TV in the room on at a normal volume for me. And, you know, I can't tell you how many headaches that saved me. So try to look at really practical things like that to try and manage the issues. Again, if there's any way to get a break, do so, you know, even if it's once a month where you have a day that you're not with that person or caring for them, great. One of the things that a lot of people do is when it's not too snowy or icy, is get in the car and go for a drive. You know, even if you don't get out of the car and go anywhere, you're out of the house and it's a change of pace, and you maybe, you know, pick up some food or you listen to music in the car. It's just a change of scenery can really be helpful too.
And that seems like the sort of thing that the advice sharing, like on your Facebook chat, would be helpful. And something you wouldn't necessarily come up with when you're in the middle of stuff.
Exactly. When you're in that situation, you're just desperate. And sometimes you really are in burnout. And it's really hard to ask for help when you're in that situation. And I find that being able to just go post something on an online page, that's something some people have enough energy to do. And then they get, 100 responses back with suggestions. And that's like, wow, like you said before, I'm not alone, you know? It takes some effort to do that. But I do really urge people, if you find that you're seeing the red flags of stress and burnout, you know, you can get online counseling now. Almost all of the health plans will cover some type of a system for online counseling and therapy. There are support groups that are meeting online or on the telephone for caregivers. You can contact your local area agency on aging and ask what caregiver support is out there for me.
Let's bring on another caller now. Pam is with us in Appleton. Pam, hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. My mom, who is 92 and now since New Year's Eve, lives in a skilled nursing facility with an excellent dementia program. But she had been living with my family for 5 years. She was diagnosed with mixed dementia, vascular and Alzheimer's. And I have one sibling who lives in New Jersey. My kids were in high school, college, and now adults. And my husband was working. I was working. And I was sole responsibility for my mom. And as the years went by and her needs increased, it just got to be so difficult that I took early retirement from my job back at the end of 2019, and then COVID hit. And she fell last year and broke both of her hips. Last year was just so difficult. We had outside caregivers, but then, you know, when COVID in March, when things just really got terrible with COVID, I furloughed them because I didn't want them coming in, you know, because they'd been other places and I couldn't control where they'd been. So I was sole caregiver, and it was very, very difficult. Wow. It really took a toll on me, physically and emotionally. You know, because you're not just seeing someone you love dearly, just fade away from dementia or, you know, other serious illness, but then you're having to, you know, focus on.
Pam, I'm going to have to jump in. We're just about out of time. I'm glad that your mom is in a good care center now. Leave us, Amy, with a little bit of inspiration for people going through what Pam went through, just in our last 30 seconds, please.
Well, I just want everyone to realize that now is the time to kind of go back to the basics. Take it one day at a time, sometimes every 10 minutes at a time. I can get through these next 10 minutes, right? And think about the basic things, you know, take some deep breaths, do some yoga or some seated things. Mindfulness exercises actually really lower the stress a lot. There's lots of studies on this. And I know that it helped me a lot to kind of try and stay in the here and now as my mind, you know, I was listening to this last caller and, you know, it goes on and on and on. And that's, I know that feeling because I've been there myself. And the thing that got me through is realizing I'm not going to be perfect. The waves are going to come along and knock me down, and mom's going to break a hip, and there things are going to happen, and I'm going to get back up. And I can be resilient. I can be there and do the best I can. And that is success. So just know that you are doing your best, and we acknowledge you and we thank you for all that you're doing for your loved ones.
Best to you and your mom, Pam. And Amy, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Amy Goyer is a family and caregiving expert for AARP and moderates their Family Caregivers Discussion Group on Facebook. She's the author of books including AARP's Juggling Life, Work, and Caregiving.